Welcome to Over the Goal Line, a Cornell University Women's Ice Hockey podcast. Throughout this offseason, we'll be bringing you both behind-the-scenes banter, as well as coverage of other interesting topics around the sports world, featuring player appearances and other special guests. Now, here is your host, number 23, Finley Frechette.
Hey, Over the Goal Line listeners and Cornell hockey fans, welcome to episode 18 of Over the Goal Line. As a funny side note to this episode, both of my Bulldogs, Rocket and Tilly, are sitting in this room as I record the episode. And it's actually pretty funny because before I start recording a segment, I have to time it perfectly so that neither of them are snoring because Bulldogs are literally always snoring. Anyways, this episode is an exciting one because I had the chance to interview one of my very good friends who also just signed with the New York Rangers, from the Cornell men's ice hockey team, Morgan Barron. Check it out.
Welcome to episode 18 of Over the Goal Line. And this week, I'm really excited to welcome one of my best friends from the Cornell men's hockey team, number 27, Morgan Barron. And I've been wanting to interview someone from the men's team for a while now, but I didn't really have too much of a reason until now because Morgan just recently signed with the New York Rangers. So congratulations, Morgan, and welcome to Over the Goal Line.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
So as you and all of my listeners basically know, I'm a huge Bruins fan, but it pains me to say I can make a bit of an exception and cheer for you and even the Rangers on occasion, but always cheering for you.
Yeah, I'm excited about it, but I'll let you keep cheering for the Bruins for a little while at least. Hopefully yeah. I can make the team sooner or later, and I'll expect you to actually start.
Once you're out there, I'll cheer for you. So I guess to start things off, let's talk about what your decision was like to forego your final year at Cornell and sign with the Rangers.
It was emotional. Like, I was definitely kind of torn, and with the COVID situation that's happening, I think that definitely complicated it, made it a lot more difficult. So pretty much right after all of our season got canceled and the semester got pushed online for Cornell, that's when I headed home, and I kind of had to start thinking about what I was going to do for this coming year. And pretty much within like a week or two of getting home, I kind of started having discussions with my family and New York and the coaches at Cornell about trying to figure out what I was going to do. And obviously the process got dragged on for quite a while just because nobody's really sure what was going to happen. Like, at that time, I wasn't even sure if there was going to be an in-person semester at Cornell. We're still not sure what's going to happen with sports at Cornell or in the professional hockey ranks. So it was definitely confusing, but a few weeks ago, basically had to decide and let the coaches here at Cornell know and let the people in New York know. And I just felt like I was ready to make that next step. And, I lined some stuff up academically to hopefully graduate in a semester, which would be about when the pro hockey season is supposed to be started. But again, even that's still up in the air. So I don't think things have worked out well for anybody because of COVID, but the timing that would hopefully allow me to graduate before pro hockey starts, that was definitely enticing.
Yeah, that's awesome. And the uncertainty, I'm sure, really, really complicated your decision because you wanted to play another year at Cornell, but it's not even certain if that season will happen. Selfishly, I really wanted you to stay for our senior year so we could all finish together. Yeah. But I'm really proud and happy for you, and it's a really exciting opportunity, and all of us are cheering you on, obviously, even though I'm a bit upset you're not staying for our final year.
That was the toughest part about it. It was so emotional, and especially with how the season ended last year. And I mean, you guys were in the exact same boat. Like, we were both ranked number one in the country at the time, and had the, out of all the seasons we've played, like, that be the season that got cut short. That sucks for everybody involved in it, and especially for all the fans who've waited such a long time, and all of a sudden both teams are ranked number one in the polls and it gets taken from you.
Yeah.
Very weird, but that's life.
Yeah, it's crazy. We were both number one in the nation and this happened. Of course, this year when the men's and women's teams could not have been doing better, then everything gets cut short and cut off. I guess connecting to my next question, what are you going to miss the most about Cornell, both athletically and academically?
Academically, I'm not sure there's much.
Yeah. The long nights in the library.
Yeah, no, I won't miss them. But waking up and going to class and seeing my friends and teammates is always fun. I mean, obviously there are some classes I enjoyed more than others, but it was always a great excuse to like get out of the house and go see your buddies. And I was lucky enough to take a ton of classes with my friends. So I think that'll probably just be the main thing I miss about it. And then on the ice, I mean, I'll miss playing at Lina specifically a ton just because the fans were so awesome. Everyone was so engaged. And, you know, because we play that shorter schedule, I think it makes every game so much more special. Like waking up every Friday or Saturday morning during the season when you know you're playing at home, it was just such a great feeling. And like I said, I was really excited to hopefully get back and win something and be able to hang a few more banners here at Cornell. And I think that's the toughest part, is that never really had much of an opportunity to do that outside of a few of the Ivy League championships. But I think just playing in front of the crowd and being able to feed off their energy will probably be the thing that I miss the most.
Yeah, we have the best fans. You guys have a lot of them, but a lot of them also love our team, and it's great to see them in the stands for both teams and being loud. And it's something different about playing in Lina versus playing in a packed stands or not a packed stands, just on the road. It's different atmosphere. And it's really nice having your people sort of cheering you on when you need a boost or you're doing well or whatever it is.
100%. Yeah. Well, I remember going to your guys' ECAC final game, and that was about the time when people started realizing like, oh, maybe we'll have to play without fans and things like that. So I remember kind of walking in and being like, wow, like this could be the last time I'm in Lina watching a game or playing a game in front of like fans, and it was packed. And you know, the support was crazy. And I've been lucky enough, I haven't missed any games since I've gotten to Cornell of our own, but we had the opportunity to go see you guys play, and especially the way that you guys had, like, the stands were packed that weekend, and obviously it was an unfortunate ending. But I do remember walking in wondering if that would be the last time I'd see it filled with fans, and it was pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, your wondering was correct, because sort of right after that, everything got canceled. So that actually was one of the last times. When you talk about coming to our game, our teams have a pretty unique bond. Could you talk a little bit about what that is and what it means to you?
Yeah, I think it's special. I mean, the main part about it is that right off the bat, like, it's two successful and winning programs. And you talk about the fact that we were both number one in the polls before the season ended. Like, that's not something that many programs can talk about. And I think you even see some, you know, some huge hockey schools, like I think in North Dakota, who ended up getting rid of their women's program a few years ago. And it's super unfortunate to see that happen. But for us to have been able to like experience that with you guys, and I think our seasons were similar in a lot of ways, you know, that was really special. And I think off the ice that carries over as well. I remember originally touring Cornell, and for those of you who don't know, we share like a training area and bike room and some weights in like the back area of our dressing room. So the dressing rooms aren't actually shared, but they're connected through the training room. I remember going through and being like, well, it's probably a little bit weird, or not knowing like exactly what to expect out of it. But, you know, it was fun. I think when we're in there and you can complain about a hard practice, and the women's team was like, oh yeah, we just got bagged during the end of practice. Just having those things to share with you guys was always fun. Yeah. It was interesting. And your coach obviously played for Jade. So I think there's a lot of similarities between them too. So that makes it more interesting a lot of the time. But having two successful programs and a lot of similar personalities, I think goes a long way. And, you know, obviously holds at the rink, outside the rink. I think we're all pretty close. So it's a pretty unique bond.
One of the stories I want to bring up outside of the rink is freshman year. Me and Joey Phelps lived together in a townhouse, and you lived with Cody Haskinen and Tristan Mullen in a different townhouse. And we were very close. We would always hang out, but you guys didn't have a couch in your townhouse, but Joey and I did. So one time you guys were over hanging out and you guys left. And I remember Joey and I looking out the window, and our couch was in your hands being transported back to your townhouse. So it ended up turning into a war where Joey and I would take it back, and then you guys would come in when we were at practice or whatever, we were at dinner, you guys would scheme and take it. And one time you guys were on the road and you were in possession of our couch, and we were having a recruit stay overnight, but she stays over on the futon because it's a couch that turns into a bed. But the futon was not in our townhouse. So me and Joey had to walk to your townhouse while you guys were on the road, go inside, pick up the futon. And at the time I had a back injury, so we had to have the recruit and Joey carry the futon from your townhouse back to ours. And I just thought that That was a hilarious story because our bonds have been going on between our teams for so long, but that was from freshman year, sort of right off the bat, and it was hilarious. And I still have the futon, so.
Oh, you still have it? I was wondering where it went, actually.
Yeah, because you guys are looking to take it again.
Yeah. Well, before you get back to Ithaca, we may need to sneak in and figure out where you're living and steal it because we could use one here.
Yeah, you guys need another couch.
Yeah. I don't remember how it even started. I think we just thought we did one day, and then, I mean, we were over there, and we were like, well, if we're here, we got to walk home anyway. We may as well take it with us. Someone has a Snapchat of us, like, walking through the quad with it.
I have a picture of you guys. It's from my room, so it's, like, up top, and it's you guys just carrying a couch across the townhouse quads, and it's like, what is happening? Like, that's our couch. Why are they taking it?
I just remember, like, trying to run with it because we figured you guys were, I don't know, up in your room, and there was a chance you would look out there, and we just heard, like, yells and screams from behind us to leave the couch behind. But we got it down there eventually. We enjoyed it.
Yeah, we did.
It,
so. That's one of my favorite memories just because it's so random. Oh, yeah, we're walking home. Let's just take their couch on our way out.
Yeah, it was fun.
Okay, so final question before I have a little game type thing, but what is your favorite Cornell hockey memory? I'm sure there's a lot, but if you have to boil it down, what's your favorite?
Oh god, yeah, there's a ton. I mean, I the one that sticks out to me is Harvard game from freshman year. We scored with like a second left, I think, mm-hmm. on a power play to win. So that was pretty exciting, and obviously Harvard's like a big game for us. And at the time, I think that year, they were ranked like 2 or 3 in the country. So we were really excited to play them, and there was just a good buzz. So that was like a really good introduction to Cornell hockey. I know my dad back home has like the picture framed of mm-hmm. the 5 of us on the ice celebrating. So that's like, that'll be a cool one forever.
I actually remember that because I was at the game. We were standing right behind the net. And you had the puck and came around the back and passed it to who? McCray? And he ended up scoring. Yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah, it was fun. I mean, that was a great start to it and kind of set the tone. We had a really good year that year too, so that made it even better. But other than that, I always love going on the road too. Like, obviously, it was like a win-win because I love going on road trips, and we were playing at home. That was awesome because of the mm-hmm. fans and stuff. But I mean, we've been pretty fortunate to have some really awesome road trips. Like, we've played at MSG 3 times over my 3 years here, which has been, like, unreal. And we've won 2 out of 3 times. So the time that we lost kind of sucked. But other than that, those were really fun trips. We did Vegas this year. It was a lot of fun. That was just, like, a different experience. I'd never been to Vegas. And just to get away from campus and have kind of a break from school and just be mm-hmm. with your team, I think those are some of my really special memories. I mean, mm-hmm. just looking back on it, there's been a ton of fun. And I definitely think other guys I've played with would be some of my best friends for life. So it's been pretty fun.
Yeah, I agree with road trips. And it's pretty cool that MSG and the Rangers, and now you get to say you've played there with your Cornell team and all your buddies. That's pretty cool overlap right there.
Yeah, it was fun.
Okay, so now I have a little bit of a game. And I've done a similar questions like this with players on my team, but I thought it'd be funny to have you do it with players on your team. So I have a few. Okay. I have a few statements, and all you have to do is answer with a name of any guy on your team that you think fits the statement.
Anybody I played with over 3 years or a team last year?
Over your years at Cornell, and if it's a debate, you can sort of say multiple names if necessary.
Okay.
Okay.
Let's do it.
Number one, best locker room DJ.
I'm trying to think who won't get mad at me. Donnie.
Okay, most likely to wear their skate guards on the ice for pregame warm-ups.
Oh, God. All the seniors I played with my freshman year would probably say me. Because I always used to do that. But I am going to say probably Cairnsy.
I can see him doing that as well. Yeah. Okay, best dancer on the team.
JML.
Okay, most likely... That was a good one. Yeah, JML is good at dancing.
He'll be happy to hear.
Most likely to say they are a good chef, but not actually be a good chef.
Oh. Mully, 100%. He sets the bar low every single time he does. And he always talks about how good he is. Did you ask everybody that question you played the game with?
No, I didn't. But I was writing down the list of questions, and that was a targeted one. So for the listeners, that's Tristan Mullen. That's Molly. But he always brags about how he's a great chef, but he's below average, if that.
He has like a 3-meal rotation that he goes through.
Yeah. Oh, classic Tristan. All right, last question. Who is the best golfer on the team?
Donnie. Donnie's like a scratch golfer. He's sick.
Oh, wow.
I think I'm working on it. I'm working my way up the list. I'm going to get there one day.
There you go. You could have nominated yourself, too, but you chose Donnie. One day you'll be
Donnie
a scratch.
Donnie would put me in for it.
All right. That's all I have for this episode. Thank you very much for joining me in episode 18.
Thanks, Ben. I appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to episode 18 of Over the Goal Line. Everyone, please be smart and wear your masks, and I will talk to all of you hockey fans in 2 weeks. Let's go Red!
Tune in next time to Over the Goal Line, a Cornell University women's ice hockey podcast. Don't forget to like, share, and subscribe to this podcast, available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Libsyn, and WVBR.com. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Over the Goal Line, and follow the team on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Cornell W Hockey. Until next time, go Big Red!